Please welcome Gene Melter.
Good evening. After college, I signed up for a year of service with the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, or JVC, which is a Catholic do-gooder organization. And volunteers had some say in where we were placed and what kind of needy population we'd be serving. And on my application, I wrote that I would like to remain in California and work with young people. And so it came to pass that at the end of summer 1982, I was sent to Fresno, where I moved into a community, a tiny quasi-religious community, five volunteers, all young people like me. And we were expected to pray together regularly and go to Mass, and to be celibate for the year. So it was sort of like being a nun or a priest, but only temporary, just a year of all that. My job placement was a group home for teenage girls who were, in those days they said emotionally disturbed, I don't know what the terms are now, and they had all been removed from absolutely horrendous situations. So my first day at the group home, my first shift, I walked in and one of the girls looked me up and down and said, "Who's this bitch?" And it went downhill from there. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that I went into that job with delusions inspired by The Sound of Music and similar stories. I knew the kids would have chips on their shoulders, but I thought I could win them over easily. You know, like Maria by the end of the second or third scene. I'd harbored fantasies of braiding their hair, helping with homework, introducing them to good books, having heart-to-heart talks, you know, like Maria and Liesl. No. For the next 5 months, every shift was terrible. I was a completely incompetent group home counselor. The shifts were especially terrible when I was on duty alone. The girls ganged up on me, broke all the house rules. I failed to prevent fights between girls and sex with male visitors and substance abuse. I failed to prevent girls from running away and taking the other girls' belongings with them. Completely incompetent, and I was a wreck. And I want to say that the other counselors were all young women like me, but they had leadership skills, and they were able to set boundaries. They were firm but kind. They seemed able to handle whatever crises or conflicts arose. And I tried so hard to learn from them and emulate them, but I just couldn't. I just didn't. I think I was too sensitive a person to work in an environment that was so unpredictable and hostile. So this went on for 5 months, I started deteriorating. So I was anxious and sick all the time. And I couldn't sleep or eat, and I lost a ton of weight. I was sick to my stomach before every shift. And I shared my feelings with the other counselors and the higher-ups at the group home. And they said, "Yeah, it's a hard job. Just hang in there. You know, you'll get better. Things will get easier." And I shared my feelings with my fellow volunteers who had different jobs, worked in different places, and with the higher-ups at the Jesuit Volunteer Corps in the Bay Area. And they said all those hang-in-there type things, and they also said a bunch of Catholic things. Like, "Your suffering serves a purpose." You are suffering because you're trying to help people in need. Jesus suffered, as did the saints. Sometimes martyrdom is slow. You die just a little every day. And of course, they advise me to pray for strength and courage. And I did. I prayed my head off. I prayed constantly for strength and courage, but help didn't seem to come. And at a certain point, I just felt so hopeless. I knew I couldn't survive another 7 months at the group home, but I couldn't figure out a way out. And you're thinking to yourselves, you weren't in prison. Why didn't you just leave? Leave the JVC, leave the group home, leave Fresno, just leave. Well, see, we weren't paid for our work. So I had no money. And you need money to leave. You need money to go somewhere and get an apartment and look for a job. And I also felt I couldn't turn to my family for help. Now, I did not come from a home as abusive as these girls had, but, you know, it was a fairly bad situation, and I just didn't feel I could turn to those people or return home. And then one day, I got an idea from who knows where. Those of you with a spiritual bent will think you know where. And I opened this phone book, and I looked for charities that did the kind of work I thought I could handle. And I found one, Friendship Center for the Blind in downtown Fresno, kind of on their skid row. And they provided daycare and services for visually impaired elderly people. I got on my bike, didn't have a car, rode down there, went in there, introduced myself to the manager, explained the situation, that he could have a college-educated, full-time employee for like $100 a month. Of course, he went for it. Then I went home, and I called the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, and I took a deep breath, and I told them that I'd found a new agency for them to send volunteers for, and I was going to be their first volunteer, and I was quitting the group home job. Now, the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, they were not happy with this, that I had done this. And the group home staff was really pissed off at me because I was incompetent, but I was a body. I was a body who could call the police, say, you know. And they needed bodies. They were pissed. And I felt terrible about inconveniencing and disappointing those people. But I felt even worse about what I was doing to those girls. So even though they never indicated that they liked me or cared about me or respected me in any way, I knew I was just one more unreliable, uncaring, shitty adult in their lives. And sure enough, after I announced that I was leaving on my very last shift with them, it was a Saturday afternoon to Sunday morning shift, the shift I dreaded most, there was quite a bit of violence, and I did end up calling the police. And 35 years later, I still look back on that night. It's a painful and guilt-laden memory for me till this day. But the JVC did approve my move to Friendship Center for the Blind, and I worked there very happily for the next 7 months. And it turns out that elderly blind people are the opposite of abused teenage, angry, you know, teenage girls. And the staff was wonderful, and the learning curve was not too steep for me. And I went to work right away doing good things, and I taught exercise classes. I took them on field trips, and I went into people's homes and rearranged them so that they could stay in their homes longer. And I traveled all over the Central Valley to senior centers giving talks on cataracts and glaucoma. But here's the thing that I feel best about. Here's the thing that pretty much justifies everything that had happened, at least in my own mind. There was one client at the center named Ruben, and Ruben was visually impaired, and he was very poor. He lived in a cruddy hotel near the center. He had no family whatsoever. He was the only black person at the center, and being black in Fresno was tough because there was a lot of racial hatred at that time. So poor, no family, and he had multiple sclerosis, which is a progressive disease, and so he was gradually losing his ability to speak and walk and use his body. And Ruben used an electric wheelchair, which I discovered was wearing out. And I discovered that he was having a lot of trouble manipulating it with that little lever. So I contacted the engineering department at Fresno State University, and I took Ruben over there, and we convinced them, a professor and a group of students, to devise a vehicle for Ruben that he could use easily and use in the long term for free. And they did this in a matter of weeks. And so in very short order, Ruben was tooling around Fresno in his new vehicle, big smile on his face. And so he gained some mobility was going to keep his mobility for maybe some weeks, months, maybe some years. And I have to say that was the most worthwhile thing I'd ever done in my life. Thank you.